I actually used verses 17 and 18 about 4 years ago with the Thanksgiving service, but I'm going to be focusing more on verse 18 this year than what I did then. As I look at it, there is a lot in that verse, but I'll start with verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. When Scripture says here that these good and perfect gifts are from above, it's not suggesting showers of blessing in the sense of the source of them being the sky, but rather it's acknowledging the separation between man and God, and that God is above us, and is a way of saying exactly what the second part of the verse says, that these good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights. So all of our blessings come from God. Now, that's a doctrine, right? And we're to be hearers, but also doers. So the idea of doers later in the text is not just that of keeping the commandments, that's certainly included as being doers. But the idea of doers here also includes the kind of application of every part of God's word that we are to hear. And in this case, with the doctrine that all of our blessings come from God, there is to be also the application of giving God thanks. That's what thanksgiving is about. It's not just being thankful, you understand. It's not just a matter of counting your blessings, but of recognizing, which this verse brings to the fore, the source of our every blessing, and making that proper application of the doctrine that God is the source of all our blessings by giving thanks to Him. Not just having thankfulness in some general sense in your heart, appreciation of your blessings, but specifically directing to God thanksgiving for our blessings. Obviously, that's one of the things that's intended in Psalm 100 that we read earlier and that we will sing in a few minutes. So there's this idea that our blessings come from God, and by every good and every perfect gift, it's not saying, well, just the really, really, really good things come from God. But it's really telling us that God's sovereign providence toward us is good in all things. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God. All things. We're to, in everything, give thanks. We're to rejoice always, not in spite of, but because of God's loving and sovereign providence. So it all comes from Him. It's all good. And a second doctrine in verse 17 is that God doesn't change. The Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, written in a day when light most of the time, other than the sun in the daytime, but light in the evenings, either came from a fire, which was used for warmth or cooking, or both, or a lamp, which would be a candle or a burning wick or some such thing as that. And the whole idea of this is flickering. That, you know, you don't have a constant, pure light. In our day, we seem to have more of that, but those who are sensitive to it sometimes feel the 60-cycle variation of the fluorescent lights and such things as that, or maybe especially of a computer monitor. But with God, He didn't change at all. He doesn't change at all. So there's a reference to God's sovereignty and God's giving good gifts and blessings to his people that is intended here. But there's a reference as well to his faithfulness. The Word of God is a record of God's faithfulness to his promises to his people throughout. And we're told here, God didn't change that. God doesn't change in any of his attributes. He's infinite and eternal and unchangeable in all of his attributes. So let's turn our attention now to verse 18. Read it with me again. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We just can't avoid the Bible's Calvinism, if you will. Look at it in this verse. It emphasizes among our blessings the blessings of salvation. That's what is intended by us being brought forth. That we are given birth, and that's really a reflection of a primary Hebrew verb for giving birth that's also translated to bear or to bring forth. And so that's what's going on, the fact that we are born again or born from above. From above fits the context well in the previous verse, but also the context and teaching of John chapter 3 and Jesus' instruction of Nicodemus. But we're Christians as our greatest, if you will, blessing. But how is that the case? Well, in two ways. In terms of its inception and origin, it is of God's own will. You know, we're told in John 1:13 and in Romans 9, one of the verses there, about 17, maybe I forget, that it's not our will that gives birth to our Christianity. It's God's, and that's what it's saying here, that it is not a matter of man's free will, but a matter of God's free will. And Ephesians chapter 1 that we looked at a few months ago as we began the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, those first 11 verses, emphasize God's free will, that he not only has it, he exercises it. And it's emphasized according to his purpose, according to his will. It's all an intention from God's part. And then in Ephesians, that goes right into what is also in this verse, that it is God's initiative, not ours, that we are born again or brought forth as Christians. But God does work by means. That's one of the things Calvinists believe as well. Not that God does everything independent of means, but he works through means. And again, that's here. He brought us forth by the word of truth. God's method, if you will, in bringing us to faith and bringing us to Christ and bringing us to redemption was by the word of truth. By the scriptures, not the word of emotion, but the word of truth, instruction for our minds, driven, yes, into the heart, but instruction for the mind is the way God brings us to faith. He shows us the truth. He shows us the truth in His Word. And so the Scriptures are God's instrument of working our salvation. And then also in verse 18, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So God has a purpose in this, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And you'll remember, I'm sure most of you, at least some of the first fruits background to be seen in the Old Testament, reflected on a little bit in the New Testament as well. The first fruits that were offered to God. God claimed the first fruits, claimed the firstborn as well. The first fruits of the crops, the harvest, but also the first fruits or the firstborn of the cattle, the sheep, etc. And one of the things to be observed about the first fruits is that it is a reflection of thanksgiving and a reflection of joy, because it is as well a reflection of promise, the promise that the first fruits give of the rest of the harvest. That there always already is a portion of harvest available, and that's the first fruits. And because the recognition is that of promise, the first fruits belong to God. But the first fruits are also a sign of course, of the joy of the promise, of the satisfaction of the gift from God of those things that we are harvesting or in other ways reaping. But this is not a first fruit offering from us to God, but that we ourselves are a kind of first fruits of His creatures. It's God's promise to Himself of His gift of all things to His own Son, and the Son's turning around and giving all things to the Father. The first fruits are God's joy. God takes joy in us, whom He brought forth to faith through His Word. God takes joy in us. So that our thanksgiving at Thanksgiving, our thanksgiving to God, is for all things and all blessings, but especially for the blessing and gift of redemption, because that is of His initiative. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the Word of God. In the 30-year history of this church, you have been, those who have been here, have been blessed with the consistent teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Few things have more characterized Providence as a church than faithfulness to the Word of God. What a blessing. What a blessing to be thankful for. Some of you have been brought to faith by the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, either here or elsewhere or in your own homes. But God blesses and uses His Word of truth to bring our salvation. So we're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful for the Scriptures. We're thankful that we've had opportunity to hear the Scriptures. And we're thankful that God is pleased to count us as first fruit blessings to Himself. Are you thankful for that? That God cares, that it matters to God, that He has you as first fruits? Now, there's a sense that there's some eschatology here, and that the real first fruits may have been those of James's generation. But built into the first fruits is always the promise of the full harvest. And we're part of that. And we don't know how long it will be before Christ comes. So it could be that we're still in the first fruit stage. But God receives us with joy, counts us something he rejoices in as the blessings of first fruits. So we should thank him that he cares, that it matters to him. So those are applications, I think, of truths of Scripture that we should be making today, that we should be thankful for all things God has brought into our lives, all his works of providence toward us, but especially thankful for redemption, for his initiative and grace in bringing us to redemption, for his blessing of us with the Word of God, which he has used to bring us to that redeemed position, and thankful that he cares after the fact as he cared before the fact by loving us and sending his Son to die for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now just briefly, as we will thank you more at length as we go through the service. We thank you for your blessings to us, and especially the work of redemption, and especially the work of your word, and especially your gracious initiative toward us, willing to save us, not being dependent on the exercise of our will, but of your own, showing your own free will in our salvation. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.